It is a joy and a privilege and an honor that I stand before you this morning and share. It was good to be here this morning, to sing with you, to study God's word with you, and I'm feeling refreshed, and I'm praising God for you all and the fact that we can be here together. So God bless you. Greetings in Jesus' name this morning, and may you feel refreshed here this morning as well. Hopefully I'm not the first one to do this, but Happy New Year, and we have a new year in front of us, new opportunities, but I'm thankful that we have the same God. The same God that showed his faithfulness in the past year, it's the same God that we can trust in the new year. And different life experiences in 2025 mean that we look back on 2025 with different and varying degrees of or experiences and perspectives on the year behind us. And then we also look forward to 2026 with varying degrees of anticipation, etc. For myself, 2026 looks like an exciting year. It's a lot of big things that I hope, and by God's will happen. Here in another 3.5 weeks, we have baby number 3 due for us. So that's exciting. Lord willing, middle of May, I'll finally graduate from Liberty University after 6 years of college. So that looks big. Rochelle has a sister getting married in March, and Megan and Colin have their scheduled for June. So there's a lot of exciting things that we have going on. And in your lives, there's things that you may hope happen in 2026 as well. And I'm not one who writes out a 5 list of resolutions or anything, but maybe you have a goal for this year and hope that it gets accomplished at some point throughout the year. But the reality is, as we sit here 4 days into 2026, there's a lot of unknowns, and we don't know. And yes, we can make plans, we can have dreams for the year, but the reality is, we simply don't know. But we're thankful that the one who does know is the one that we can serve, the one that we have a relationship with, the one who calls us to himself and wants to walk with us through whatever this year brings. So this morning, I want us to look into 2026 with our eyes fixated on Jesus Christ, with our lives wholly surrendered to his will, and our minds firmly planted in the truth of his word. I have created an acrostic for 2026, and we're going to follow through with this as our outline this morning. I want to give 2 goals or 2 visions for this year for us all. I want to reiterate the idea and the need for zero compromises this year and also for all of our lives. I want to issue 2 warnings for us all, and then I want to conclude with 6 promises that we know from the Word of God. So as we look at goals and visions, I want to give 2 general goals. These are not New Year's resolutions, I would not say. These are goals that, as a Christian, they should be at the forefront of your life, not just in January of a new year, but in all of life. Okay, they're broad in scope and in nature, and that was on purpose. Something that we can all claim for ourselves, something we can all accomplish, something that we all can and all should be doing. The first one is drawing near to God. Turn your Bibles with me to James chapter 4 and verse 8. James chapter 4 and verse 8. I don't know how last year went for you all in a spiritual sense on meeting. Your walk with God, I don't know what that looked like. Maybe it was a high year for you, and that's great. We can still draw near to God. Maybe it was a year that you're not proud of spiritually if you look back. Draw near to God. Regardless of where you lie on a spectrum of the Christian journey, newly started, nearing the end, we can draw near to God, no matter your age or anything. Oh, I just want to read the first sentence in chapter 8. There's 2 sentences in chapter 8. Just read the first one, and we'll come back to the end of it later. So if you're with me in James chapter 4, the first part of verse 8 says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." Again, no matter where you are in your Christian walk, draw near to God. Desire and long for a relationship with God that's deeper, that is stronger, that is closer, as you begin this year, and as you continue to walk all your life. David writes in Psalm 42, the first 2 verses, this is in a MEV version, where he says, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before my God? And my desire is that all of us would have that same desire, that longing, that passion to know Jesus Christ, to know him deeper, to know him better. So develop this relationship, nurture this relationship with Jesus, with our Father. This is not just simply a greater head knowledge, not that we can rattle off more facts about God and his word. No, this is a relationship, an abiding relationship with the one and only God. But this abiding, this loving relationship, this type of relationship, and the fact that of God drawing closer to us are both contingent on our actions and our choices. If you're in James 4, look at verse 6. He says, God resists the proud. Verse 7 says, submit yourselves to God. And finally, the last sentence of verse 8 says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. If we want a better, more deeper relationship with Jesus Christ this morning, we need to meet him on his terms. Humble yourselves, submit to God, cleanse yourselves. The beauty of Jesus Christ is he's going to meet you where you are as a new believer, but he's not going to let you there. And we cannot expect to live our lives on our terms, the way we want to live, and expect a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. It does not happen that way. As you look into this new year, as you long, as the deer longs for water, for a deeper, fuller relationship with Jesus Christ, do your part. Humble yourselves. Submit to God. And the promise is there. He will draw near to you. That's true. But we need to do our part first. It's a conditional promise. Do your part and he will draw near to you. That's an amazing promise that we have. And so, not just in 2026, but in all of life, a desire and a longing for a deep relationship should always be number one priority. And I trust that it is in your life. I'm just reiterating that. So a goal that I have for all of us, as you as an individual, you as a family unit, and us as a church, that we would draw near to God this coming year. Because the reality is everything else that happens this year is going to come out of that relationship. Everything that we experience this year and how we approach this year is going to come out of that relationship that we have. So draw near to God, and the promise is he's going to draw near to you. My second goal that I would love to cast this morning, or a vision I'd love to cast, is that we would seek first the kingdom of God. Turn with me to Matthew 6. If you want to hear a whole sermon, Zach has that. Go find it on the archives. I'm not going to re-preach this sermon. I just want to look at this verse here. In Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. These things referring to the clothing, the food, the needs that we have, the physical needs that we have. There's going to be a lot of seeking in 2026. There's a lot of people who are going to be seeking something in 2026. Some are going to be seeking to make their first million. Some are going to be seeking a promotion at their job. Some are going to be seeking to take their small startup tech business from privately owned to publicly traded. There's going to be a lot of seeking in 2026. Some will be seeking fame, recognition, election, power, prestige. Some are going to be seeking trophies and prizes. The Winter Olympics are being held in Italy in February, and all the other sporting events throughout the year. People are seeking something, seeking peace, security. But the reality is that all of this seeking, all of this focus is on themselves. It's all focused on them. And Jesus knew that we would have this tendency to focus on ourselves as we go through life to build our kingdoms, to promote what we want, and to protect what we think is necessary. And so, in an attempt to control our lives and create this illusion of security, we build our kingdoms. And Jesus is saying, look, lay that aside. Let me take care of the small things in life. You seek my kingdom. Seek the things that I care about, Seek the things that I long for, that I value. Seek those things. Seek my kingdom. Everything else will take care of itself. Seek my kingdom first. Join with him in building his kingdom. It's a kingdom that's going to outlast time itself. It's a kingdom that benefits right now in the present and also in all of eternity. Right now. If you're still in Matthew 6, I want to read verse 34 yet. Where Jesus continues, he says, "Take therefore no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." I believe Jesus is calling us to live faithfully right now. Don't live in tomorrow. Don't live next week. Don't live next month. Don't live for May 16th when I graduate college. Live right now, right? Live in the present. Be faithful in the present right now. And seek his kingdom today. Don't push it off to tomorrow. Seek it right now. Live faithfully in the present. And God, he will take care of the rest. The reality is that the same God who gives the flowers their beauty, provides for the animals, that same God is the one who's going to provide for you and take care of you. Jesus said in Matthew 16:25, "Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall find it." Don't go about scrambling to save your life and to build your kingdom in 2026, all in the end to lose it. Lose your life for the sake of Jesus Christ. Seek his kingdom first, and you will find your life, true, abundant life in him. Moving on to the zero in 2026. Zero compromises. It's actually the concept that started this whole sermon for me. And like I said, I don't do New Year's resolutions. I have some loosely held goals for the year, but if I were to make a New Year's resolution, I think this is what it would be. Now, we're not perfect. I'm not perfect. And on this side of eternity, none of us will be perfect. That's just the reality of life. And as we look back on 2025, there's situations, there's choices that were made, there's decisions that were made that we're not fond of. And we recognize that we made compromises in 2025. It's life. And I don't want to rename sin for what it is. We fell short. And as I look back over my life, on 2025 specifically, I realized that I compromised my relationship with God for just a few extra minutes of sleep. Or I compromised my relationship with my wife to save my pride and what I thought was correct. I compromised the relationship with my children when I lost my temper. A compromise is something that we change our moral stance and we exchange our integrity in the moment for an illusion of self-satisfaction. Zero compromises. I want that to be our burning desire for 2026 because it fits the sermon this morning. But that should compromise all of our lives. Zero compromises. The Christian life never was designed and never will be made into a playground because it's a battleground. And we forget that sometimes as we go through our life that it is a battle. It's something that we are fighting and we can never afford to lay our weapons down and to compromise our position. The Bible character that I often look at to make this point is King David. It was a time of year when kings go out to war. David said, "No, I'm going to stay at home." He compromised. He said, "I'm going to stay home. Let my commanders take care of things." For some reason, I don't know what his reason was, he stayed home. He compromised his kingdom. He compromised his life by making a decision, a small decision arguably, but he compromised. He stayed home. And that led to Bathsheba. That led to destruction, to death. David compromised. David said, "I'm putting my weapons down. I need a break. I can't do this. I deserve this." We must reject complacency in our lives. And that touches on the point of drawing near to God. Don't grow complacent with where you are right now. David did. David said, "Look, my kingdom's big enough. I don't need to handle this. Let someone else take care of this. I'm going to stay home. I'm the king. I deserve. No. Reject complacency in your life. Reject apathy in your life. If there's an area of your life that has regressed, that has declined, deal with that. Fiercely deal with that. Reject apathy in your life. Do not pick it in coast mode and go with the flow. The battle that we are fighting is not against those around you. It's not against our brothers and sisters in the church. We do well to remember that. Paul says in Ephesians 6:12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." The true beauty of the Christian life is that we're not fighting among ourselves. We're fighting together against an enemy that is out there. So in 2026, don't forget that. The battle is out there. Join hands with your brothers and sisters. Fight with them against the enemy that is out there. We have Jesus Christ. He's going to fight for us. He's going to fight with us. We need to remember that. Zero compromises and zero excuses. The times that I compromise in my life are almost always times of excuses in my life. I deserve something better. I deserve this. Look at what I've done. Oswald Chambers says, "No sin is worse than a sin of self-pity, because it obliterates God and puts self-interest on the throne." Watch out for a sin of self-pity. Look at Jesus Christ. No self-pity in his life. All that was done to him, he could have claimed self-pity, wallowed in self-pity, and allowed himself to dwell there. He refused it. Look at the Apostle Paul. All the persecutions he went through, he did not allow himself any self-pity. He says, "In whatever state I am, I have learned therewith to be content." Never allow self-pity in your life. Self-pity will often lead to compromises. Zero compromises. So reject the self-pity that you feel coming in and push towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. May that be our cry. With the cross before us and the world behind us. And church, may we be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Yes, in 2026 and in the years and to come. For we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Absolutely zero compromises. May that be our burning and our desire for 2026 and for all of our lives. Two warnings I want to give. I don't want us to go into 2026 lackadaisically, whimsically. Hey, new year, blank slate, hop, skip, and a jump. I want us to be aware. I want us to be aware of the challenges facing individuals, challenges facing our families, and ultimately challenges facing the church here at Myerstown. So my call for all of us this morning is to be watchful and be vigilant. Be attentive. The Bible describes the devil as a lion, prowling, seeking who he can devour. Let's be watchful. I've been thinking about this sermon for a while. It's been on my radar, and I've been jotting down things for the acrostic as I came across them. And the two warnings that I had written down, Zach covered both of them last Sunday. And that is amazing. That is awesome. God is amazing. So I'm not going to re-preach them, but I just want to mention them because I think they're important. The first one he mentioned was individualism. Our Anabaptist community, our Anabaptist faith is founded on brotherhood, discipleship. And the individualistic society around us seeping into our churches is going to take something drastically away from us, something that we need. Watch out for it. The second one that he mentioned was, what are we feeding on? What are we listening to? In years gone by, because the Anabaptists were a community, they were very tight-knit. And the discussions and what they heard often came from within themselves. We now live in an age of audiobooks, podcasts, sermons from all across the globe we can listen to. What are you listening to? Be watchful for that. So the two warnings that I want to give this morning, the first one is cheap grace, and the second one is truth versus lies. Cheap grace, I fear there is a Calvinistic mindset seeping in and creeping into our churches. Let me explain. I don't want to get all theological this morning. But the idea of repentance and salvation apart from a obedient life to Jesus Christ is what I fear is happening. And as I was talking through this sermon with a brother of mine, he brought this up to me, and this is the way that he would have said it. This idea that, yes, I'm saved, I'm washed in the blood, I'm a new creature, but I can continue living the way I want to live. It does not work that way. It doesn't. We're not once saved, always saved individuals. That's not what the Bible teaches. And I fear that we are treating the costly grace of Jesus Christ, which he's provided through his blood on the cross, we're treating it as cheap and worthless as we tread upon him. James 2:14, up on the slide. What doth it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? James is clear in chapter 1 that we are saved by faith. James, the Apostle James, is not advocating a works-based relationship, and neither am I. John MacArthur would say this about James. He said, James is not disputing the importance of faith. Rather, he's opposing the notion that saving faith is more than a mere intellectual exercise void of a commitment to active obedience. We cannot separate the grace, the salvation of Jesus Christ, and active obedience to what he's calling us to do. We can't separate them. But it's when the grace of Jesus Christ, the salvation of Jesus Christ, is paired with the life of an individual who is sold out, wholly committed to what Jesus is calling them to, and they're paired together, that's the Christian life. Faith alone does not save us. Works alone does not save us. But paired together is a powerful, powerful combination. There's a phrase that I hear a lot, or hear often. I don't really appreciate it, although it is partly true. The phrase is, we live in a day of grace. And I think when it's often said, it's comparing it to the Old Testament times. And in that comparison, yes, we live in a day of grace. But oftentimes what that phrase implies is that we can live our lives however we want to live, knowing that the grace of God is going to cover whatever comes our way. And that is not how I read in the Bible. Yes, God is a gracious God, but he's also a just God. He's also a holy God who cannot stand anything outside of his nature. Do not treat the grace of Jesus Christ that he provided with his own life as cheap and worthless. I asked a few weeks ago across this very pulpit, is my life, is your life worthy of the death of Jesus Christ? And I pray that it is. Cheap grace. The second one, truth versus lies. We live in a time where no one quite knows what is true. Everyone's asking that. You can read different news articles on the same subject and you're going to get different results. We have social media feeds filled with things that we're not quite sure where they came from. AI is getting better and better at creating things that are very believable. Recently, there's a video that came out showing a coup in France. And there was a reporter reporting on this coup. Did anyone see this video? So the reporter in France, Eiffel Tower was behind him, and they're reporting on this coup that's happening in France, and the president's overthrown and all this thing. Another world leader texts the president of France, and he said, hey, what's going on in your country? That video was viewed by millions of people, and it was completely, absolutely, 100% false. It's becoming better and better at producing things that simply are not true. Does truth even exist? John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, Jesus is speaking. He says, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and that truth is Jesus Christ, and that truth will set you free. Jesus says, continue in my word, and you're going to know me, because I am truth. And that truth, Jesus Christ, will set us free. Lies, deception, are powerful slave masters. They imprison so many people. Jesus is saying, know me. Know me. I will set you free from that. Know the truth. And in a world of deception, in a world of lies, in a world of conspiracy theories, in a world of gossip and falsehoods, is the church known as lovers of truth. Gary Miller, in his book Truth Matters, asks the question, is my love for truth stronger than my love for what I want to be true? If you have some idea in your head, you can Google it and you will find someone who agrees with you. That's the world we live in. And you can become convinced that you have truth because you want it to be true, whatever that idea may be. Are we known as lovers of truth? Not for what we want to be true, but as lovers of truth, of Jesus Christ. Do we place a high value on truth? Not just things we hear and we repeat, not unverified stories. Truth. Brothers and sisters, this morning, we are children of the God of truth. All truth comes from him. We should be known as people as of truth. Truth comes from God. Truth comes from his word. Truth is from Jesus Christ. All you boys at boys' camp should remember that. And it's true. It is. Jesus also promised us the spirit of truth in John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, that he will show you things to come. In 2026, allow the Spirit of truth to guide your life. Know truth. Know the truth. Seek Jesus Christ. Know him, for he is truth. And allow the Spirit of truth to lead you. May we all desire and seek truth. As we sit here this morning, there's many things that we do not know. We're 3.5 days into 2026. Many more to come. And yes, we make plans. I'm making plans to graduate in May. Megan and Colin are making plans to get married. There's plans that we make, but we really don't know. And so I want to give you 6 things based off of the Word of God that you know are true. And I know 6 is a small number, but it goes with the acrostic. Okay? Search out your own truths, your own promises from the Word of God. And remember those and read those often when you're confused in life, when you don't know what's going on. So here are 6 truths. 2026 is going to bring changes. It's just going to happen. I wish I could tell you differently, but it will. Some will be celebrated. Some will be mourned. But it's going to bring changes. There's going to be surprises. But the reality is that we can hold on to the truth of God's word, that it will never, ever change. It's going to be the same as it was in 2025, as it will be in 2026. So I have 6 promises this morning. I'm not going to say much about them. I'm going to put them up. I'm going to read verses that support them. Because I don't want these to be Drew's promises, because they're not. I want them to be God's promises and from his word. Number 1, God and his word will never change. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Hebrews 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isaiah 40 and verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And all the changes that are coming, that will not change. Praise God. Number two, God will never leave us or forsake us. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 8. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Remember that promise now and forever. And this idea is present in quite a few numbers of verses throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament. And it's often accompanied with the phrase, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. God will not leave you. God is faithful. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. 1 Samuel 24, verse 12. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. I said it before, but God's faithfulness last year is what allows you to trust him for the new year. Remember what he has done, as it says in 1 Samuel. Remember that, because there are going to be times in this year where you don't know if you can trust. Remember his faithfulness last year and trust him for this new year. Remember what he has done for you. We have divine power. 2 Peter 1, verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. That is true, and you can depend on that. Everything that you need for 2026 is found in him and his word. There's nothing else you need. We have the power. 1 John 4, verse 4, the second half says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do not allow the devil to bring fear, to bring discouragement in your life. Go forward in his power, not your power. In his power. In his might. Forgiveness. 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I said it before, I'll say it again. We're not perfect and we never will be this side of eternity. And unfortunately, there's probably going to be mistakes that are going to be made in 2026. When those happen, confess your sins and find forgiveness and cleansing in the God above. The last one I have this morning, Jesus is coming back. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, 17, and 18 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And you probably heard that verse in 2025, in 2024. And it depends how old you are. For the last 30, 40, 50 years you heard this. It's still true. Jesus is coming back. And all we need to be ready. We need to live in 2026 with the reality that that is true. Because it is. We need an eternal mindset and eternal focus for this new year. 2026. It's a new year. New opportunities. New things happening. But it's the same God. The same God. And I'm thankful for that. Two goals or two visions, if I could give you that for this year. Draw near to God. Seek him above all others. Submit, humble yourselves, cleanse yourselves, and he will draw near to you as well. Secondly, seek first the kingdom of God. Don't waste precious time building your own little kingdoms. Seek his kingdom. Build his kingdom. Zero compromises. Reject complacency. Reject apathy in our lives. Make zero excuses and zero cause for compromises. Embrace the cross of Jesus Christ and press toward the mark. Two warnings. Well, maybe four, because I'm going to recap the ones from last week. Beware of individualism. Be careful what you listen to and what you feed on. Beware of how you treat the costly grace of Jesus Christ. Do not treat it as worthless. Faith needs to be paired with complete obedience to what God's calling us to do. Live lives worthy of the death of Jesus Christ. And love truth. Know truth. Love the truth. Seek the truth. And allow the Spirit of truth to guide you into this new year. And finally, six promises. I want to put them all up there so you can see them. God and His Word will never, ever change. He will never, ever leave you or forsake you. He is faithful. We have divine power. We have the promise of forgiveness of sins if we confess. And Jesus is coming back. Don't ever forget it.